What's up, party people? How you doing? How you doing, yo? What's up? What's up? What's up, party people? What's going on? Woo! That's what I'm talking about right here. Eddie Rabbit. Alexa, stop. Oh, my friends. You know, I was, today I've been doing some work trying to upload all these Insomniac Insights up on my personal podcast, which is called Chris Padgett. And put a few up on the Patreon page so people who are subscribing can get some content. But you know what's funny is that as I'm listening to these, as I'm uploading them and listening to them, I realized I need to talk a little bit faster because you can tell I'm super sleepy in the beginning of these usually. And then I get amped up about something and I start really rolling. So right from the beginning, I'm going to go a little bit faster than normal. So I hope you guys are ready for a great show. Anyway, welcome. Eddie Rabbit. Does anybody remember Eddie Rabbit? There you go. Josh remembers. I love this guy, man. Alexa, play I Love a Rainy Night. I remember listening to this when this came on the radio. Like the actual radio.
Here's a station for you based on the song I Love a Rainy Night by Eddie Rabbit on Amazon Music.
Sometimes, Alexa, I just feel like she... This doesn't sound at all like Rainy Night.
Just you and I.
Shut the front door.
Sharing our love.
Alexa, stop. Dear Lord. Sometimes I feel like she's mocking me. That's all I'm going to say. Sometimes I don't feel like this Alexa lady gets me at all, okay? I asked her to play one song, and she didn't even listen. But whatever. I Love a Rainy Night. Driving My Life Away. Ooh, I'm driving my life away. All right. But look into his eyes. My gosh. Looks like... I think he was saying, whatever we do, I want to look like the most like Jesus that I can. Back in the, do you remember that, remember Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth back in like the 70s or whatever, early 80s, where the Jesus was the, like, no, it has to be the whitest guy we've ever seen. That's the only person that can play Jesus. And his eyes were like piercing blue eyes. His mustache, though, it seems wrong. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm saying. It seems wrong. Mustaches were the big thing in the 70s, right? Tom Selleck. I mean, he was almost like I'm about to show you what a real man's mustache looks like. His mustache is like the John Wayne of mustaches. Which is weird because John Wayne, I don't even think he really had a mustache. So the other day I made this comment and I said something like, has anybody read anything by Dave Ramsey? You know, like people who are in love with Dave Ramsey, they're like fanatics, almost like they're in a cult or something. Then I said, we should have Dave Ramsey and Larry Burkett get into a boxing ring and just duel it out. And whoever wins, basically... we'll follow their financial advice. And then I had a friend of mine the next day who said, I just think you should know that Larry Burkett died in like 2002 or 3 or whatever. And I was like, oh, so I guess Dave Ramsey wins. So, okay, because he's still alive. Anyway, great to see you, Sarah. Thanks for tuning in. Bobby Campbell, thanks, man. My Steelers jacket. Here's the thing. I'm trying not to feel self-conscious about this, but whenever I try to zip up my Steelers jacket, the zipper, it becomes undone. Do you see what I'm saying? And so there's a part of me that's like, basically, I'm not sure I can represent the Steeler Nation with my stomach protruding out. Unless I said, I represent the 50 and up. Then I could wear this jacket, and then I wouldn't even need to explain it, because then, you know what I'm saying. Like, people who are basically 50 and up are breaking zippers all over the place, left and right. Which, it brings me to one of my topics tonight. First of all, I want to welcome Tex. Thanks for being here, Scott. Of course, yeah, man, I know Nikki Leonti. It's a long story. I know her pretty good. Anyway, I wanted to talk about something. I think I literally potentially just lost my train of thought. Oh no. I don't know if I'm going to remember what I was going to say. I got distracted. It'll come to me, maybe. I think it had something to do with... No, I don't know. It's gone. Anyway, I want to do a quick shout out. At the end of the show, I usually just bring up, if you want to support what I'm doing. We're doing tons of stuff. We do a live show for the County Route Report in the afternoon at noon. I do this every night at 12:45 usually. We're creating some other content, doing a lot of podcast stuff, and the list goes on and on and on. But so I've been asking some people now and then to go to Patreon and just support, and I just wanted to say thank you to the supporters that have come on board. And again, I've said, you know, even $5 a month donation would be so great. And there's some people who have been so kind to jump on board with us. So I just want to give them a shout out. And Kirkwood, I just want to say thank you for being a supporter. And Christian Casey, Jennifer Stiles, Keith Butler. Some of these are good friends from the past. Some of these I've not seen and spoken to since I was a kid. Some of these people I've not met personally. Kelly Sloot, of course, Sarah and Tex, Paul and Clarissa. I just want you to know how much that means to me. So I'm trying to get a whole bunch of stuff up on a regular basis just to bless you for blessing my family. So moving on, I want to get on board with the cool train. So I was doing this, I'm just organizing in my office, and of course I stumbled on a couple of records I wanted to talk about, and I had a rant, and it's now gone, but I'm believing it's going to come back and visit me at some point, okay? So, that's what I'm saying. Anyway, Eddie Rabbit, let me just go back to him real quick. I've been talking about this whole idea of how when you hear a song, it kind of takes you back in time, you know? And, I loved that song, Rainy Night. In fact, I would listen to that song as much as I could, because there was something about that connected with me as a little kid in the 70s. I'm pretty sure that came out in the late 70s, mid 70s. And then this is the best of, but Eddie Rabbit was a good person. Let me give you the other one though, who just passed away. Kenny Rogers. Now, first of all, Kenny Rogers' beard is like amazing, and his mustache is so manly. Like, there's no way you can question the manliness of Kenny Rogers. First of all, he's the Gambler. Hello. And that was such an awesome movie. Coward of the Country. This has got some great stuff. This is his greatest hits. The Gambler, Lucille, Ruby, Coward of the Country, She Believes in Me. Lady. Anybody that can wear a shirt like that and get away with it is a cool, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I would literally wear all of those cowboy outfits just even around my house in quarantine. That's what I would do. I would wear that all the time, you know? Scott, you and I are in the same boat, bro, so it's all good, man. I'd like you to introduce my viewers and maybe listeners later to, I just poured this drink, so normally I am tongue-tied, just want you to know. This is a makeshift ghetto martini. Let me tell you what I did. I went to the freezer and I commanded it to give me crushed ice, which it did, obediently. And then I took the jar of olives, which I'm going to tell you this right now. The only reason I bought the jar of olives was for this very drink that I have made tonight. And I dumped almost the entire amount of juice that the olives were in into a cup and then put a little bit of vodka in it. And I'm just going to say right now, the longer it sits, the more beautiful it becomes, because it's going to be cold. There's going to be a few olives there, and I think it's the perfect drink for tonight. Because when people look at me, they often think James Bond and martinis. I've been, I just want to give a shout out, though, to this lady that had, before she moved, she gave us some of her leftover alcohol. And I want you to know, when someone gives you their leftover alcohol, that person is a friend for life, right? And I just thought to myself, could there be a greater gift? I don't think so. And so this vodka has been sitting over here for quite a while, but I decided to have a little bit of it and enjoy the show tonight. All right, let's move on. I sound like a lush. And secondly, I've already forgotten one of the main points I was going to say. So I sound like I have Alzheimer's. And at some point I'll start coughing and you'll all think I have corona. Do they close the liquor stores in PA? In PA, did they close that as not an essential business? Man, things are getting tough where you live, brother. You might want to think about coming up here. New Yorkers know how to keep their priorities straight, right? Liquor stores open, essential business. All the churches are closed. So that's how apparently we're rolling up here. I'm not bitter, even though I am. All right, so anyway, I want to jump into some things tonight that I think will be kind of cool. First is, I remembered, we're going to be okay. The 70s were such a fascinating time for me. Now, look, I talk about it a lot, but partly because that's kind of my nature. I'm retrospective. I like to think about the past a lot, partly because it generates a lot of stories. But one of the things I was thinking about is just this whole idea of guys in the 70s, old guys especially, that would walk around the summer not wearing t-shirts, okay? So just tell me if you remember your dad or your grandfather outside working without his shirt on. And the answer is all of you. Because for some weird reason, old people, old guys especially, back in the 70s, 60s, nobody cared whether they had a shirt on or not. In fact, it didn't matter how fat they were, the shirt still came off. There was no self-conscious, you know, oh my gosh, I don't want people to see my stomach. No. They were out, you know, trimester, pregnant like crazy, it looked like, hair on their chest, just the boss, you know? And I feel like that was such an odd period in American history. Just this time where guys recklessly just were walking around with their body all over the place. First of all, short shorts, Tom Selleck, of course, and then no shirt, okay? And then, you know, of course, there was just something going on in the 70s. It's literally, right, the effect and the impact of the 60s, where everybody there was getting high and losing their brain, kind of promiscuous central. And then you had, we wear short shorts. Do you remember that commercial? And then you had the Daisy Dukes. And then, of course, all the guys basically walking around with their fat bellies hanging out with no shirt on. Half shirts. Do you remember half shirts? Yeah, and drinking Schlitz or Old Milwaukee. Do you remember Blatz, that beer? Blatz sounds exactly like you'd think it sounds after you drink a lot of Blatz. Then, I'm always kind of fascinated. I told my dad, I was asking him the other day, because he made, maybe I'll show it to you tomorrow, but he's been making these you know, he's taken the family tree to the next level. I mean, he's put together books now of our family lineage. And it turns out we're not related to anybody famous. So there's that. But he had a picture of his dad. And his dad had a beer. And I asked him, I said, do you know what that beer was? And he did. He remembered it exactly. I'd never heard of it, which, by the way, is pretty impressive that I would not have heard of that, because I have made it almost my commitment since I became Catholic in Easter of 1999 to try to make up for all of the days that I never had beer as a Protestant. So the joke I always say is, you know, the reason I became Catholic was so we could smoke, drink, and swear. But obviously that's not true. But let me just say that I've become an expert in beer, okay? Which is demonstrated in my stomach. But of course, we live now where we're not allowed to take off our shirts, you know, without feeling all self-conscious. Because, you know, apparently, you know, that's a problem. But if I would have grown up as an adult in the 70s, I could have had my shirt off, walking around, no problem. Nobody would have said, oh, Chris, look at your stomach is too big. No, they would have said, well done. Well done, man of the 70s. Well done. Some of you guys, obviously not here, because some of you are obviously in need of a lot of alcohol to try to actually get some sleep. But some of you listen to the program in the morning. Some people I know listen to it when they're completely well rested. And all I keep thinking is, why do that to yourself? I mean, you're listening to it in the early morning. The rambling that happens here, the insanity, it is perfect for late night, but I cannot understand how it translates in the morning. So if that is the case and you're listening to this in the morning and you're thinking, why are we focusing so much on beer? Because most of the people watching the show are drunk right now. Freaking bunch of loonies. Colleen, do not try to challenge me that you know more about beer than I do, okay? First of all, I want you to go back and think about the movie, okay? Raiders of the Lost Ark. Do you remember it? Are you with me? Now listen to me carefully. This is critical. I used to think that the main girl character that was playing with opposite of, you know, Harrison Ford was the girl from Superman, but it's not. It's a different lady. I used to think it was like Margaret Kidder or something like that, but it's a different lady. Okay, here's the deal. You remember the scene where the opening scene, she's in her bar and these Nazi guys come in and she's drinking the guy under the table. Do you remember that part? Do you remember that? So she's drinking all of the shots, and you know, the guy finally collapses and she's barely fazed at all. Okay, I'm that girl. I'm the girl in that part of the story. Do you see what I'm saying? Colleen, I don't know why you did that to me, but you made me tell a story in which I identified with the girl more than the big gigantic guy with facial hair. But then after that, you remember the Nazi guys came in and then they're like, This is the famous line. She's like, something like, do you want a drink? And he's like, we are not thirsty. You knew he was trouble at that moment. Good night, Bobby. Get some rest. We are not thirsty. All right, so moving on. I have a couple more records I just wanted to point your attention to. In no particular order, nor theme. Here is The Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles. Okay. You know these guys are high. You know it. But to prove it, they put this album out. This is what I've been saying the last few days when I've been looking, and it all started with that Grand Funk Railroad album cover where they're all wearing Speedos. And the truth is, I've been wondering, like, where is their management trying to communicate with them the ridiculousness of their albums? It is literally why on the movie Spinal Tap, it is such a funny moment when they have an all black. It's like, it's none more black. They can't even sign it with their black markers because the album cover's all black. Like, there's nowhere to sign it. It's the funniest thing ever. Anyway, yes, I agree. Tex says, the best movie dealing with beer is Strange Brew. You know what? The McKenzie Brothers, baby. That Rick Moranis is awesome. And actually, you know, that's kind of the SCTV, Second City, you know, the Canada group. There were a lot of legends that came out of there. Obviously, you know, a lot of people know who Eugene Levy is now because of Schitt's Creek. But Eugene Levy, man, has been a master and did a lot of stuff with John Candy and Martin Short. These are all some amazing comedians. And so, I remember that movie, actually, because they gave beer to the dog to drink. I don't know if you remember that. So okay, Colleen, whatever. You wanna say that you're the girl in Raiders of the Lost Ark and that you're drinking the gigantic guy on the table. Okay, next time that we're somehow in the same area, then we'll go ahead and we'll have a drink off. Okay, we will not do that because probably if I'm in an event anywhere where you're going to be, I'm probably doing a religious event and I've made it my habit not to drink and then go up and speak to people. It's just something called integrity. I'm kind of hoping to have that in my life. So anyway, isn't that funny what people brag about? I've been thinking about that a lot for a while because there are people in our life that... that brag about things that I just feel like are not worthy of being bragged about. Here's an example. So we have a particular family member, that's all I'm going to tell you. And this particular family member said, you know, their big brag was that they're wearing Under Armour, okay? And I keep thinking to myself, like, they're just bragging over and over about all this Under Armour that they're wearing. And I think to myself, first of all, we shouldn't even see your Under Armour and you brag about it because it's called Under Armour, okay? So I don't even know why we're seeing it to even talk about it. Secondly, everybody wears freaking Under Armour. It's not something you can brag about, okay? I'm pretty sure the entire volleyball team is wearing some sort of Under Armour. Why is that your thing to brag about? Now, if you came and you rolled up and you had like a Lamborghini, then okay, you can brag about the Lamborghini, all right? But you cannot brag about Under Armour. That's like me bragging about, like, Under Armour. Anyway, moving on. All right, so we've already talked a little bit about... Can we go back for just a second and just stare it into the dreamy eyes of Eddie Rabbit? Whoa! There they are. Again, where is management? I know he's thinking, but listen, I'm crushing the mustache right now, and my eyes are so freaking blue. Please, can we put this on the album? They're like, no, not just one of you, two of you. Two of you. We want your face twice on the album cover. That says Eddie Rabbit. Can we just go back to this one real fast, too? The Gambler, Kenny Rogers. I want you to know, technically, Kenny Rogers did not have a 99-cent sticker on his face. This is just my interpretation of Kenny Rogers right now. What was your song? Do you remember? I watched The Gambler on television. I loved that stuff, man. All right. I had one last one. And it's got a cool story with it. So, and actually, Scott, I might come back to the whole Nicky Leonti thing, okay? So, here it is. Kansas. All right. It's not the one that, you know, maybe everybody's as familiar with, but it, you know, it should be because this is the album and on the back it's got Dust in the Wind, all right? Which is weird because on this album, side two is Dust in the Wind. Isn't that crazy? Carrie Livgren. All right, so here's a cool story. When I was in the band Scarecrow and Tim and we kind of got that rolling around 1995, 96, and maybe a little bit before 96, now that I think about it. But we were doing some shows in the Florida area, and things were starting to take off. And I remember I got a phone call, and this guy says to me, "Hey, Chris, this is Dino Elefante, and I'm calling you from Nashville." And those of you who don't know Dino Elefante as... We all knew who he was because they recorded all of Petra's records. So he and his brother recorded all of Petra's records. But the reason everybody knew about these guys is that John Elefante was the singer for Kansas, Dust in the Wind, when the main speaker originally left, he took over and he toured with them forever. His voice, freaking unbelievable. So if you type in Kansas into YouTube with John Elefante, it's unbelievable. So I thought it was a prank call, actually. And so I said to this guy on the phone, I was like, yeah, right. Because John Elefante, they're like these Italian, almost, they almost have this kind of like, Music City mafioso kind of vibe about them. And so he says, Chris, my brother and I have been listening to your music, and we want to be a part of what you guys are doing. And I said, yeah, right. Because I thought it was a prank. And he said, no, really, really. You know, my brother and I listening to your stuff, and we like it. And I was like, y'all, come on. Who is this really? He goes, Chris, this is Dino Elefante. And all of a sudden, just the way he started talking, was like, holy crap, this is actually Dino Elefante. So he's like, we want to come check your stuff out. And I was like, well, you could probably stay in the guest room. Like, in my brain, I'm thinking, we always are struggling with a little bit of money, so we'll make room for him so he doesn't have to worry about getting a hotel. We'll save him the $100. Little did I know that these guys were bazillionaires. Like, they originally, after John Elefante stopped touring with the band, they invested in strip malls. This was right before that took off. So they made so much money, it was off the chain. So what happens is they took all the money that he made from Kansas, invested it in strip malls, and became multi-millionaires. And continued to write tons of music, sold like tons of songs and all that. And then John Elefante comes out with a solo project that does phenomenal in the Christian contemporary music world. So around that time, they were basically the primary producers for a company called Pamplin, which was new in the Christian arena. And that's the record company that Nikki Leonti was on. Scott, you had mentioned that about her. She did a live thing just recently on Facebook, which was kind of cool. So I'll never forget, because there's so many, I won't talk about it right now a lot, but there were tons of things that happened during that experience that were pretty life-changing moments. But we came out with that first, record, the national. We had done a number of records on our own, but the first one that we came out with that went and did really well was called No Place Like Home. And No Place Like Home had on it, You Are My Son. And I'll never forget that moment when I had finished all the singing and vocals and they were doing the mix down of stuff. And I heard You Are My Son. I almost just started crying, because in my brain I thought, like, this is what that song was supposed to sound like all along. It was incredible. And it just kind of made a difference when you started recording on a Neve mixing board. And you're in a studio that's got, like, you know, all the smells and bells, and then you have somebody like, you know, the Elefantes in the background directing and making sure things are right. So we came out with that first record and it did really well. And then we did the second record called Superhero, which was kind of cool. I have a lot of sentimental attachment to that, because the cover is my dad when he was a little boy. We modified it a little bit, but it's a picture of him. He looks like he could have been lifted right off the Little Rascals cast. I mean, he was so cute, and it was in that time frame, and he's got his little tiny wooden golf clubs, and so that's my dad on the cover of that record. And it was kind of cool, I think, also for Brad, because he was able to do with Tony Palacios all the record recording stuff and all the guitar stuff, and it was pretty awesome. So You Are My Son. Yeah, that was the song. We sang that at every concert. I occasionally will play it. It's definitely a special song, that's for sure. So I've done a ton of music after that, and I did re-record one more time, You Are My Son. It certainly would never have even compared to the recordings, you know, that we got in Nashville and the way that turned out. But yeah, it was a nice effort nonetheless. So anyway, that's my music portion. So every night, I try to show you also a little picture from my kids, and I wanted to show you a few. I found the mother load. I knew I had been keeping all of these forever, and I have this huge folder of all my kids' paintings and pictures, and some of them are ridiculous. So I just thought I'd show you a couple. First, here's Jude. Now, Jude is... I don't know. He's like 14 or something. Nobody really knows. He's 15, 14. I'm going to go on a limb. He's a freshman. How old is that? What is that? Yeah, so he's something like that. But this is when he was a little boy. So he made this cute... Look how sweet the snail is. Yeah. How adorable. It's just adorable, right? Super cute. But then Jude put out this one. And all I keep thinking is... If I'm Mrs. Reinecker, I'm not so certain I'm impressed or ever want to see Jude touch a crayon again. Because if this is what Mrs. Reinecker looks like, Mrs. Reinecker needs medical attention. She's got some issues with her eyes. That's what I'm saying. Are you picking up what I'm throwing down? I should probably say hi to people who are on here. Hi. Sometimes I just start ranting, and I don't even realize there are actually people watching here practically. Heather Bice, West Virginia, what's up, yo? She's probably not even here anymore. She's like, this is stupid. Laura Chance, how awesome. Great to see you again. You've grown up since you were in school, that's for sure, right? Ailish from Australia, what's up? I think I saw Jen Luby. I don't know if she's still on here, but how awesome is that? Jen, the last few days, we've been talking a lot about Chamberlain. Been crazy. Jennifer, previously known as Merkwan, has been on pretty regularly, so we had a great time talking. Stella, how weird is this? I had a Stella earlier today for dinner. Seeing you at Great Wolf Lodge for the high school rally in Colorado Springs. That's cool, Stella. I loved being at that event. Although, I will say this. The entire time I was on my way to that event, I thought I was going to be kidnapped and murdered by my Uber driver. Because it was insane. He had to pick me up at the Denver airport and drive me to the Colorado Springs area. And it was in the middle of this epic, horrid snowstorm. And he started going on backwoods. And I kept texting, basically trying to document that... that I was still alive at that moment, because who knows what was going to happen. It was all of the things that you would imagine could happen when you're picked up by an Uber driver who wants to kill you. That's exactly the scenario I was in. It happened. Let me show you a couple more pictures. Sometimes it's funny looking at these two because it really does capture their personality. This is my son Colby, his picture. The name of this character is Tubby. Which I'm assuming there are a lot of things I'm afraid of. If you can see this picture, I want you to see if you can explain what the crap is going on. I am fat. What's happening? There's a lot going on here, people. Here's the last one. You know, you have sweet pictures from Jude. You have funny pictures from Colby. And this is the child I'm probably becoming the most concerned about. This is Joe. I don't know what kind of monster that is right there, but obviously it's about to eat a house. This person's screaming complete terror. I don't know if that's a person or a bird, but basically Joseph's gonna need therapy. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that... there are nose hairs on Tubby, but that's not what I'm most worried about. If you look below, what the heck is going on down there? That's all I gotta say. You're welcome. Whew. So anyway, I hope you guys are having a great night. I have to tell you, I'm so ready for spring to be spring. It's literally snowing out again. My weather here has gone completely mental. It's truly bipolar. Anyway, long and the short of it is, let me give you my last little bit here. I want to just encourage you guys tonight. I'm going to say this as gently as I can because I probably come across like such a cynical snot sometimes. But here's the scoop. I think there are a lot of people out there right now who are really hurting and struggling. That's what I think. And I myself, it's easy sometimes to be overwhelmed if I look around and I take in deeply my scenario and situation. You know, I think Scott can relate. Anybody who does ministry can relate. All of us are no longer allowed to travel, and it's, you know, how we take care of our families, and even people like Scott who work in a church, everything's changed completely for them. The thing about this that's so interesting to me, though, is that you'll see a lot of people who are just independently, exceptionally wealthy, and they have such a, oh, no big deal attitude about it. Like, we're going to get through this together, and everything's going to be fine. And I can appreciate the attempt at sympathy. But I just was watching this show and I was listening to this lady there who's like, I don't know if I'll be able to pay any bills next month, you know? And I'm looking at my calendar and I'm literally looking at months of events that have canceled or moving, and I'm thinking, God, you're so big and you're so in control, but we all could probably use, you know, a respite from this storm. And then, like literally today, a friend from the South Dakota days, she put some stuff up, Cindy, about this idea of a tornado season is supposed to be exceptionally difficult in South Dakota, and you're like, of course it is, right? And then some of the storms that had just recently gone through the Midwest, and the earthquakes, the volcano. You know, if you look around, I'm sure they're going to have, like, this is going to be the worst hurricane season ever that's going to be hitting coastal areas. And it would maybe seem like we've been forgotten, you know, by a benevolent God. Or when you hear someone who has, you know, five homes with millions and millions in the bank, and they're saying, don't worry, we're all in this together, it would be easy to roll your eyes. And I think I just want to just hone in on a simple idea. If you're a person of faith, my encouragement to you, which is the encouragement to me, is this is a great opportunity for you to cry out to the Lord and know that He'll hear you. And if you read the Psalms, they are filled with honest moments where David is so upset and irritated that his adversaries have him in a corner, or is so irritated and upset because circumstances have put him into a predicament, or even seriously frustrated and upset because he himself has done things that has put him in horrible situations. And this is what is so powerful about the Psalms. This is really why the Psalms are still so beloved today, read in every single Mass, and people, whether you're Christian or not, people find consolation in the Psalms. Why? Because they're honest. Like, they're real. And I think that's my message for all of us, myself included. We don't have to pretend that everything's great if it's really not great right now. It's okay for you to say to the Lord, I'm struggling right now. I'm hurting right now. Because He already knows how you feel. See, if you look in the Bible, the problem in the scenario with Job was, ultimately, it was an invitation for him to recognize that as horrible as it's been, which it's been so tough and horrible for you, Job, I am still God. And ultimately, as God, I don't have to explain anything to you, but I'm going to bless you and your faithfulness to me amidst all sorts of oppositions and craziness. Your willingness to still trust me is an amazing opportunity now for me to show you how much I've protected you. And I think I need to hear that kind of message. And I think maybe you need to hear that kind of message. Because while I don't think a lot of multi-bazillionaires can always relate to a person who's struggling with depression or struggling with making ends meet financially, emotionally, not being able to go to therapy, or if you're an addict in programs and you don't feel like you're having a refuge anymore because you can't meet for those, you know, it would be easy to almost lose a sense of hope. But what's really confident and comfortable for us is to know that God is not afraid of our honesty nor our vulnerability. And in fact, the more that we can be honest and vulnerable, then the more God can come right into the mess that we're in, the struggle we're in, the fear that we're in, the trouble we're in, and then he can do the miracle that he does. And that looks different for every person. You know, when it's all said and done, you know, this whole idea of carrying our cross, we made it super pretty. Like, we've made this idea, like pretty. And then you have people that keep pitching this ridiculous idea that you'll never, ever be sick and you'll never, ever be poor. And some people do get sick and some people do struggle with finances. And sometimes it's not just immediately okay. And so the question is if God is not against us, what does it mean that he's for us, especially if things are circumstantially crazy? And this is the cool thing, is that God is for us. He is not against us. And in fact, he's doing all things in our life so that we can be the saints that we're called to be. Does that mean that he wills and wishes the coronavirus on people? No. God never wishes horrible and bad things on anyone. He never wants people to have to experience the impact and the effects of sin, or the impact and effects of a degrading world. But he is present with us in that struggle, in that storm, in that sickness. Think of the story of Jesus walking on the water. When Peter got out of the boat and he stood next to Jesus, the storm didn't go away immediately. Eventually it did. But it didn't immediately. And the gift to Peter in that moment was Jesus with him. And I think that's my consolation for me. Not the word of a star, some famous person that's just sitting back chillaxing, you know. But that's the word I get from a God who knows what it's like to be betrayed, who knows what it's like to be hurt, to be misunderstood, to be lied to be abandoned. Jesus sees all of these feelings and knows that it would be a ridiculous disservice to pretend that we're not feeling the weight of it. And so, and I wish Linda were here in a way, because she partly is so good about talking about those honest moments, that sometimes it's really important for us to just unload. Like, God can handle it. You know, when a kid has a temper tantrum, the parent doesn't say, "Well, you blew it. I'm no longer going to be your parent." You know? But as a parent, we look at them and we're gonna pick them up. We're gonna love them, and we're gonna try to teach them that, look, especially when they're little, look, I got your back. I'm gonna provide for you. That doesn't mean you get everything you want whenever you want, but I'm gonna take care of you. And I think in a lot of ways, that's our consolation. That's my consolation. That's what I'm choosing to hold on to as I wait online to just try to get some sort of governmental assistance. This, you know, it's so funny. They're like, I call a place to try to get a little help, a little aid. I was told by somebody that I should do this. So I said, okay, I'll do that. They're like, okay, well, we can't really, you have to go online and do it. The online process, I feel like I need a doctorate in physics and some sort of algebraic comprehension that is impossible. Like, it's hilarious. I think I'm going to be able to do an amazing comedy routine on this in the future. You know, we got all these things for you. Good luck trying to make it through the labyrinth that we've put up in place. The maze. If you can find your way through without dying, we'll reward you. Meanwhile, 3 hours later. Anyway, so read the Psalms a little bit. Recognize you're not alone. Those feelings are feelings that have been felt by some amazing heroes of the faith. It's okay. God is with you. He's with me. He's going to provide for us somehow. And I always just kind of come down to this simple fact that, you know, as long as I can be near the people that I love, I think I'm going to be okay. But even in that, I can think of people who have had to say goodbye to loved ones and family members and not be able to go to a funeral or not be able to be there by their bedside as they're passing. And in those moments of desperation, all I keep thinking is, God, how we need your grace in those moments. And so for those of you who are Catholic and are celebrating this Easter time, let's just sit back and soak in the mercy of God and the reality that we will, Lord willing, all one day be with him. held, loved, where there will be no more tears and sorrow, no more suffering, that we will be with the person that made us and with him forever at that. So God bless you all. I love you guys. Last little pitch. Those of you interested, no pressure, but if you want to support what we're doing, you can go to patreon.com/Chris Padgett, whatever you want. It doesn't matter. I'm going to try to do my best to bless you. Scott, I love you. A lot of people like him out there doing ministry and trying to make a difference. And that's what I love, seeing people who want to still do ministry even though their entire infrastructure has collapsed. So blessings to you guys.